Hello, hello. Wonderful to see you all. Wonderful to be able to gather with you today. And I don't know, maybe there's something wrong with me, but it just brings a little bit of enjoyment that maybe you didn't know what you were coming to today, and yet you've managed to come on Giving Week. So there you go. But particularly warm welcome to you if you are visiting with us, if it's your first time or second time. Look, this is a particular series that we're going through. We're kind of looking at what does it mean to be a member of a church? But really, to be honest, it's bigger than that. It's what does it mean to be a Christian? Because here at Village Church, we don't think that it looks any different to be a member of Village Church than it looks like to be a Christian in general, to follow the teachings of Jesus. And so that's kind of what we're going to do today. We're going to look at our fourth G, the way that we've tried to kind of encapsulate this. So we're looking at giving. I'll talk us through that, but I will mention to you, so you got given an extra thing today. We're throwing it all out. Part of this is that we want to have something we can give to people ongoingly. What does it mean to give? Why do we give as a church? These are sometimes for people, depending on context, experiences, where they've come from, this can be a bit of a kind of mystery, or maybe even something that in the past has been an upsetting thing, a frustration. We want to at least bring some clarity to that. Why do we give at Village? What are we giving to? What does that look like? That's what this is. Encourage you to take one home each per family. I've also given you a copy of kind of a budget update. I'll mention that right at the end of the sermon. But that's there for you too. But here's what I'm going to ask you to do now. I'm going to ask you to put that in that and put it under your chair. Because if you're anything like me, that would just be too dangerous. I'd be reading on that instead of listening. How about I pray though, ask God to be with us, and let's see what he has to say to us in the scriptures about giving. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do give you thanks and praise. Lord, we thank you that it is, as we heard last week, that it is one of the great glories, one of the great mysteries unveiled, that the heavens look on in wonder at the church gathered. And Lord, though it might seem like not much to us right now, as a bunch of people in a room, Lord, to you and what is seen through spiritual eyes, it is brilliant. And so, Lord, I hope that we would capture something of that and that we would gather around your word as we should by listening to it, by taking it seriously, by allowing it to work on our hearts, not in resistance, but in submission to our Lord Jesus. Amen. So I'm going to talk about our fourth priority, giving. And giving is all about worshipping God by doing the work of ministry. Let's break that down. Let's start with this word ministry, okay? Ministry just comes from the word service. So a minister is just another word for a servant. And ministry actually refers to any act of serving. It's not even actually particularly religious. Anything anyone does to serve someone else is ministry. That's why we call politicians ministers, means servants. That's what they're supposed to do. If you chase down how the word ministry gets used in the Bible, it's people cleaning tables, it's cooking meals, it's giving money, or it's preaching the gospel. All of those things are ministry. Everything that you do that helps serve someone else is a ministry. So not just church stuff, your job is ministry. If it's helping the community in some way, which hopefully your job is, then it's a ministry. You don't even need to be a Christian to be a minister. There you go. We can fall sometimes into that thinking, right, that ministry is this special thing that people do, that special people do. I'm the minister. Tim's the minister. No. I want you to say, go on, say it out loud. We're going to do this. I'm the minister. I'm the minister. There you go. Isn't that fun? It's a part of being human. We were made for ministry. We were made to serve each other, to live in community and to love each other. And actually, humanity is at its greatest when it's serving. Jesus shows us this, right? Jesus is the greatest man to ever walk the earth. But what does he say of himself? Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus showing us what true humanity should look like. His greatest moment, of course, was that giving of his life for the sake of others. He gave everything for the sake of sinners. And in that service, he is glorious. The life of giving up for others isn't weak or pathetic or the trodden down life. It's the great life. It's the truly human life. Service is actually the path to greatness. But I want to say more than that. There is ministry that every human does in their day-to-day life, at work, in their family. But if you belong to Jesus, then that's not the grand purpose of your life. Jesus has a ministry that he wants all Christians to be involved in. No matter your work situation or family or other stuff going on. In fact, we see it in Romans 12. If you haven't still got it open from when Adam read, why don't you open it back now, page 920. Let's have a look at this. We're going to walk through this a little bit. So the Apostle Paul, he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy." Now, let's just stop there for a second. We need to, always important to ask. You guys know this mantra, I'm sure, but if you see a therefore in the Bible, what do you ask? What's it there for, okay? He says, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy." What's Paul talking about there? Well, he's saying it's everything in Romans chapter, pretty much chapters 1 to 11. It's actually just a longer version, a more detailed version of what Jesus said in Mark 10:45. It's that Jesus has given his life so that we might have life. It's that even though we don't deserve anything but judgment because of sin, God in Jesus Christ has declared us to be righteous. He's made us alive and given us his Spirit so as he adopts us as his sons and daughters. And he's given us a hope and a future and a wonderful inheritance. That's kind of, there is in a couple of sentences, everything Paul said in Romans 1 to 11. But then Romans 12, we see a change, a turning point. Paul says, in view of all of that, in view of what Christ has done for you, look at the rest. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Now, what is a living sacrifice? Well, it's a sacrifice, but alive, right? There's your profound moment for today. In the Old Testament, you would worship God by making a thanksgiving sacrifice to him. Okay, this isn't real politically correct anymore, but here we go. You would take one of your sheep, your best sheep, the most perfect-looking sheep you had, and out of thanksgiving to God for what he's done, you'd take your sheep to the temple, and you would offer it to him by burning that sheep on the altar after it was dead. And that was a gift of God. A gift to God, sorry. You know, so just imagine this. Imagine a sheep out in the paddock, wandering around, doing its own thing, doing what animals do. It had its own ambitions and its own dreams, its own greener pastures that it was hoping to get to. It does what it wants in life. But then, gets taken, carried to the temple, thrown onto the altar. And then it's barbecue Saturday, isn't it? But its own life and ambitions are gone. It's God's now. It's his. That's the Old Testament picture. That's how God is worshipped in the Old Testament. I feel like I need to kind of amp it up to go with the music. Like, how can I take this more deep and mysterious for you? And then we'll have a moment. But the New Testament picture is different, right? Paul talks about a living sacrifice. Your whole body, your whole life in thanksgiving to God. This is what AI came up with when I said a living, ordinary, Australian human on a sacrificial altar. I tried better, it couldn't come up with anything. But you get the picture. It's like you leave behind your old life and ambitions and dreams and comforts and you climb up the steps onto the altar and say, "I'm yours. All I have is yours. All I own is yours. My body is yours. My future is yours.
My life is yours.
Not 10% or just some bits.
All of my life.
And I live as a sacrifice to God. I live in worship. See, worship isn't singing at church. When the Bible talks about worship, it isn't talking about singing. It's talking about all of life. It's His now, for His purposes, for Him and His glory. That's the life that, if you call yourself Jesus's, that you've been called to, you've been saved to. And you remember this, right at the beginning, the first week of the series, we saw that we were made for God's glory. We've been saved for God's glory, and so now we live for God's glory by giving Him all that we have, handing it over to Him. That's worship. But what does that actually look like? What are the steps that we need to take to live a life worshiping God for His glory? Well, it looks like two things. Romans 12, again, this is Paul saying, he says, it looks like stopping going in one direction and starting to go in another. Let's first stop going one way. Look at what he says, verse 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let's start on that bit, first bit. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. What's the pattern of this world? Well, of course, there's lots of patterns in our world. But the pattern I think Paul is talking about is living for ourselves. You see, that's what stops worship. If worship is handing everything over to God, then the thing that stops me from worshiping is holding things for myself. It's the word autonomy. You know that word. Starting to get thrown out a bit. Autonomy, it means living my life how I want. Ruling myself. It's just another way of talking about sin. Doing what I want with my time and energy and money. Individualism is everything, everywhere in our world, of course. Living for myself. And in Australia, it's particularly bad because we've actually got money. When you don't have any money, it's hard to live for yourself, right? It's hard to be individualistic because you need other people to survive. But in Australia, we've got money. And so we can make choices. We can make choices for ourselves. Money gives us power, and in an individualistic society where life is about me, then I use my money for myself. I use my time for myself. I use my energy for myself. Usually to get more money, and the circle continues. That's the pattern of this world. It's living for me. But that's not the pattern of worship. The pattern of worship is to live a new life, holy and pleasing to God. It's like we died, but now we rise off the altar, a new purpose, a new person with a new purpose, transformed, Paul says, by the renewing of your mind. As you see God's plans and purposes more clearly in His Word, as you see the shape of reality more clearly, as you see these things, you begin to live a life of worshiping Jesus rather than yourself. In fact, that's what we need to stop going that way. Stop conforming to the world that, around you that tells you that you should live for yourself, that you deserve it, that life's about getting comfy. We need to see it differently. We need to see Jesus bigger and see that new purpose that God has saved you for. Because He has given you something to live for. Something to use your time and energy, money for. Now, I wonder what you think that is. Well, look at what Paul says in verse 3. He says, for by the grace given me, I say every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. I mean, that's a helpful analogy, isn't it? I'm sure you've heard it before, maybe, but we get this right. I've got different parts of my body. We've got hands, we've got noses, we've got colons, and each has a different function, which is like us, our church. Even though we're all different individuals here, we're actually one. We belong to each other.
We're one body. And that means we need each other. We need you. And you've actually been given, everyone here has been given to us for the sake of building up God's people, God's body. You see, verse 6, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And if your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. Teaching, then teach. If it's encouraging, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. See what Paul's saying, right? Your life has a whole new direction, a new purpose. Not to live your life for yourself, but to turn everything God has given you to serve others, to serve his people, to serve the body. So if you can teach, teach others. So if you can give, give generously. Use whatever God has given you for the sake of his body. That's what it is to worship Jesus. Whatever you have. And now Paul isn't giving an exhaustive list here. We'd be here all night if we went through every possible gift and so on. But it's whatever God has given you. Use it to serve his people. This is actually the special ministry that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15. He calls it the work of the Lord. It's using whatever is in your hands to do the work of the Lord, building his church. Come over, actually, and have a look at this in somewhere else, in 1 Peter chapter 4. Here's a helpful little thing, I think, just to correct sometimes our thinking on gifts. I think I've given you a page number, haven't I? You know, one of the biggest causes of division in the Christian church in maybe the last 50 years, not so much now, but certainly in the last 50, has been about gifts. People spent ages, I remember doing this when I was young, we would fill out forms and we would try and figure out what gift has God given you. Do I have this gift or this one? How would I know? Did I get the good one or did I get administration, you know, or something like that? And so we think of it that way. We think of it sometimes like the special skill that we have or something along those lines. I like people having people over, therefore I must have the gift of hospitality. Or I don't like people having people over, therefore I don't have the gift of hospitality. But have a look at how Peter talks about gifts here. He says, each of you, this is verse 10, he says, each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Now, interestingly, in verse 9, he says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. So everyone should have the gift of hospitality. But here's how Peter seems to talk about this. A gift is anything that you have received by the grace of God. Anything. The life you have is a gift from God. The circumstances you find yourself in, that is a gracious gift from God. If you have a house, you have the gift of a house. If you have money, not if you have lots of money, or if you're rich, if you have any money, you have the gift of being able to be generous. God has given you money so you can use it for his purposes. If you're single, you have the gift of singleness. Just like if you're married, you have the gift of marriage. God has given you the circumstance you find yourself in to serve him and serve his people. See, when we worry about what gift we might have, we can start missing the point. The point is that whatever you have, whatever God has given you, has been given for his glory so that you might serve his body. And what that results in is that God has given Village Church everything we need. We have everything we need to fulfill his purpose in each other, using everything that we have to be growing together for his glory, to be serving our community, reaching out to them with the good news of the gospel. God has gifted you with everything that we need to be more like Jesus. And that's actually when you really get to enjoy your gifts, when you find real joy, because the real joy doesn't come from getting to use some special talent that you might have. The real joy comes from seeing people grow through whatever God has given you. You know, to be honest, we don't want to have village kids leaders who are just serving because, well, they just love kids. We want to see people who want to serve in our village kids because they want to see kids grow as disciples of Jesus. Because they love seeing God's people, God's children, growing to love him and know him. We don't want musos at church who serve in music just because they love to play music. We want musos who love God's people. And because they love God's people, they want to use the gifts that God's given them to see them grow, be encouraged. There's this bigger thing here. Seeing God's body grow and be on about the purpose that it's on, it's supposed to be on about. Seeing more people glorifying God with their lives. That's why God has gifted you. And that is what should drive us. God has given us everything that we need so that we can be doing that together. You see, God has a vision for our church life. And it isn't a bus. You know, on a bus, you've got one person driving and then you've got a bunch of passengers. Yeah, we're going in the same direction. But God's vision isn't for our church to be a bus. Something more like a rowing team. In a rowing team, you still might have someone steering. But the boat only gets anywhere because everyone is doing their part. Maybe something a little bit more like this. But that just goes to show, right? You know how these things work. It's no good to just have people sitting at the oars or one person pulling real hard. Then you just go around in a circle, right? Doesn't work to have a couple of people complaining about how everyone else is rowing. We need all of us to be a part of what we're doing. Everyone using what they have to row the boat forward. Now, we need to be careful with this, and this is important. Some might be able to row harder than others. Some might be a bit more tired. Some might have a couple of kids hanging off them as they try and just get a little bit of paddling going. Others, it's cancer or chronic fatigue that means actually pulling the oar like that. That's not the way that they can serve. Instead, they're able to pray and encourage others. But that's the picture. The picture is that we are working together, serving one another, paddling, giving, whatever that looks like, living as living sacrifices, worshipping God by handing it all over to him, by serving others. That's why God's given you gifts. That's why he's given you the gift of your time. That's why he's given you the gift of energy. That's why he's given you the gift of money. Whatever your situation is, whatever the power that comes with that, they aren't for us as individuals. They're for him. And for him by serving his body. God wants something so great for you, something so profound, something so truly human. A life of real joy. A life of service. Rescued from the pattern of our world that is living for yourself. We see this, I reckon. We talk about our time and our energy and our money as things that we can waste. I bought a treadmill, waste of money. I went to this seminar with work, such a waste of time and energy. We talk like that because we know our time and our money and our energy are precious. But what is the one thing that will never be a waste of these things? It's being part of what God is doing in the world as he grows his church for his glory. What is the one thing that will never be a waste of money? It's giving to see more people know about Jesus, to see more people hear about how good he is, and to grow in their love and knowledge of him. What's the one thing that will never be a waste of energy? Serving God's people so that they can grow to be more like Jesus. That is the reason God has given you these things. He's given them so that you can worship Jesus and have joy from doing that as you see God's people grow. I haven't been given more time this year, or you haven't been given a better uni timetable so that you can treat yourself, so that you can go away and have just more beach time. You've been given that so that you can serve God's people. I haven't been given a pay rise. I shouldn't say, I haven't gotten a pay rise this year, guys. But you haven't gotten a pay rise this year so that you can live a little bit more comfortably, so that you can serve God and His people. It's His money. And His purposes for it are far grander and more meaningful than anything that you might do with it. Now, we do need rest, and we do need to care for our families. But we do those things so that we can, and so that they can, and I can, keep serving God and His people. So that we can keep doing the thing that we've been called to do. Here is the question asked. Wherever you find yourself this year, how can you use whatever God has given you to serve His people? That's the life of serving others. That's the life of ministry. That is the life of worship. Now, when you join Village Church, for those of you who already have become members, you've experienced this, you get asked to do things. You get asked to join a community team. But that won't be the last time you get asked to serve. And some of the things you get asked to do won't be that exciting. But the reason we ask is because we believe there is something far more glorious you can give yourself to than just being noticed or just doing what friends do, serving Jesus' people. And we want to find a good fit for you. You can say no to these things. We aren't asking. We aren't about asking fingers to do heavy lifting. We don't ask my wife Alita to do the technology. That would be a disaster. You don't ask Tim to make the vegetarian meals. I wouldn't know how. We don't ask Adam to lead us in singing. I don't know. I haven't heard him. But we want people serving joyfully, according to their gifts and capacities. But whatever you do, if you take anything out of today, see your money and your time and your energy differently. See them as for something bigger than you. And don't waste them. Serve with them. And you will find more joy when you do. All right, let's go into some specifics. Let's talk about some things where you could start doing this right now. You don't need to have some special title. You don't need to be the minister, whatever I call myself now. You don't need to have that to serve other people. Anything you do to serve others, to grow them to be more like Jesus, is serving. Smiling at someone who sits next to you when they come down and sit down and take that risk of like, can I sit here? That's service. That's ministry. Talking to people in the break who you haven't met before or who you notice might be there for the first time. That's serving. Singing loudly at church. That is a wonderful service to others. Praying for the person next to you after the gathering. Taking someone a meal when they're sick or struggling during the week. Sending people a text to let them know you're praying for them. That is all ministry. And God has given you to our church so that you can do all those things. But let's talk about the big one for our day and age, I reckon. It's probably been a big one for many days and ages. Giving money. Now, you'll notice, and for some this is normal, or for some this has been strange for you at Village, but we don't take up a collection on a Sunday. We don't hand around the hat or anything like that. And that's because we want our gatherings to be places that are comfortable for people who are new to church. We're aware that in our communities, sometimes, unhelpfully, sadly, there's an association made that churches are on about taking people's money. We don't, and can I just say to you, if you are visiting here with us, if you wouldn't call yourself a member of Village Church, please, we are not interested in your money. This is something, giving as a member of Village is something that we do because we do see ourselves as part of something bigger, as part of God's body. And so we contribute to that because we believe in the purpose. Because there are things to pay for, right? I mean, to meet here on a Sunday, I love meeting here at the PCYC, that costs about 15 grand a year. It costs to have people freed up, people like myself and Adam. It costs to free us up so that we can feed our families and support our, and eat and live and pay the bills and all these things. It costs money to raise up apprentices who we're training to grow, to be the next generation of leaders and to continue to grow the kingdom of God in Australia. All of that costs money. And we are a member-funded church. There's no kind of, I don't know how this would even exist, but someone out there just kind of keeping us afloat. And that means we need the members to give in order for us to survive. That means you, if you call yourself a member of Village. Or if you're becoming a member of Village, we are expecting that you'll give. Whatever seems generous to you, this is what the giving booklet is all about, to talk you through that. I'm not going to work through the whole theology of giving right now, but for some people that might be $20 a week. For other circumstances, it may be a lot more. I heard about one church once that asked each member at kind of a moment like this to kind of stand up and be vulnerable and go, here's what I earn and here's what I plan to give this year. We could do that. To keep each other accountable. I'm not going to. But we do want you to think intentionally about your money and your giving. Because two particular things. One, and we've already heard, the pattern of our world. We live in a culture that has a massive problem with money. I want to acknowledge, and please hear this as I work through and appeal to you. There is inflationary pressures. There is cost of living stuff. But let's also be aware that we live in the most comfortable time of history. What we see as normal, the amount of TVs we own, the couches that we rest on, the amount of clothes that we have, are unprecedented. Some of us may even be hurting because of inflationary pressures and these sort of things. But we also have a standard of living that, like I said, it's never been seen before. But here is the reality for us at Village. We do have a need at the moment. We are behind budget. Now you're allowed to get out that little piece of paper, but the absolute summary will come up on the screen. If you would like to ask questions, we will do a Q&A and you can ask questions about the budget. But right now, to give you the absolute summary of where we're at this year, we're about $10,000 behind budget for the year, when you rationalise that out across the stage of months that we're at. And we also need to raise about $15,000 for our MTS fund to support Ryan and Ella. Now, to give you the summary, why are we behind budget? Well, I don't think we're big spenders. In fact, if you look at it, there's a number there you'll see. The 8,000 number on the expenditures is that is $8,000 we are below our spending targets. We have tightened the belt. As you can tell, sometimes we don't have flashy equipment. And Adam and I are paid about 3/4 of what ministers down the road are getting paid. And Ryan and Ella, our MTS workers, well, they have to live off the smell of an oily rag, pretty much. But it really seems to be the reason for our budget situation. It seems to be because, on average, we don't seem to be giving at the level that was expected. Now, some of that is, we understand some of the mechanics of that. There is a lag, of course. You come, you visit a church, there's a time that it takes to start giving and so on. But at the moment, we seem to be averaging about $40 a week per person, which, when I talk to other churches around the country, that does seem to be lower. That's the equivalent of someone on $60,000 a year giving about 4% of their income. It's about someone on $80,000 a year giving less than 3%. Now, these numbers aren't about guilt, it's just to state the situation. Because again, remember, this isn't my situation, this is our situation. We are a body. We are God's body. And for all of you, of course, there is a situation, but I do want to encourage us to reflect on our giving. I mean, here is one thing I can hold my head up and say for sure, under God, that it does seem like God is doing something pretty great here at Village. Adam and I were looking at this the other day. Since we've planted, you know, 2.5, almost 3 years ago, 8 people have become Christian here at Village Church. Now, can I tell you guys, I don't know if that number means anything, but not many churches are seeing one person become Christian in that period of time. And we've seen 8 people become Christians. That's amazing. 2 people have become Christian this year in our midst. We've grown from 16 adults and 10 kids to about 55 adults and 35 kids. Now, a bunch of those numbers, these are people who have been out of church for a long time and have come and found a home here at Village and been welcomed and encouraged here. We figure actually something around 60 to 70% of members here at Village were out of church for a good period of time before they came here. I mean, that is massive.
In a time where churches are dying and struggling and Christianity is under the pump, this seems like a serious work of God. And I say that as a boast in the Lord, and may it continue. But it does require generosity. Without it, I don't know. I don't know what that looks like, but I want to appeal to you in this. Here is my request. Take an hour this week to look at your finances, to ask yourself, to talk with your wife, your husband, whatever that looks like, and ask a question. How are we going with our giving? Are we being living sacrifices for Jesus? What would that look like? Alita and I had that discussion last year, and it looked like actually Alita going back to work. And we committed that as she went back to work, that 50% of everything that Alita makes goes to Village Church. Now that feels like a big sacrifice right now, to be honest. I've got a bunch of other things I'd love to do with that money. But we're trusting God in that, that nothing could be more glorifying to Jesus or bring more joy than contributing to what God is doing here. So actually, if that's what we need to raise, here's our start. Alita and I, we're going to be able to contribute $2,500 to each of those figures. That's what 50%, you can measure what Alita made last year. There you go, there's vulnerability. But what does that look like for you? Can I actually encourage you to take a moment to reflect on that question? Are you able to make a one-off gift? The MTS ones are tax deductible. Are you able to consider your giving and change your regular amount, maybe? To be honest, I'd love to see us come up to an average of about $60 per person per week. That seems to be what a healthy outcome for what is going on around the country, as I talk to other churches. But what are you currently giving? What might it look like to increase that? Maybe for some of you here, you're pretty new, you've only recently become a member, or you're just becoming a member of Village. Maybe you haven't started giving yet. Can I encourage you to reflect on that and to start giving today? Our body needs the gift of your money to stay healthy, to keep doing the things that we want to do, to keep reaching new people, keep supporting the good work that God is doing here. So I actually want to give you a minute, just a moment of reflection, to consider what that might look like, to decide on an action, whether it's sitting down this week, whether it's sitting down as a family, whether it's to just start giving tonight, to take a moment. I'm going to give that now. Take 1 minute. I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to pray that we would be a people who give sacrificially, who would see what Jesus has done for us, and so would desire to serve like Jesus, who served us by giving his whole life, and who saved us so that we might live a new life, a life of worship, a life of giving everything we have, everything that he's given us to grow his body. Would you pray with me that prayer? Heavenly Father, oh Lord, that we would see it more clearly. I know I struggle, Lord. I see all these things as mine rather than coming from you. But God, somewhere in there I do know that this is true, that everything I have is from you and everything we have is from you, and that it is for you, Lord, and for your people. So I just pray, Lord, that you would help us to see that more clearly. Help us to see what we have been given in Christ. Help us to see the magnitude of that. Help us to see what we have waiting for us in a new creation where we will never want. And God, seeing all those things, help us to be generous. Help us to take that action this week, whatever it might be. Help us to be faithful to you in that. And help us to take ever more seriously what it means to be a part of your body, to be ministers, Lord, and to live our lives in service of others. Help us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's minister to each other by singing loudly, hey?
Grab a seat, guys. We're going to jump into Q&A.
Yep. Yeah, oh, sure. That's a helpful thought, Annie.
Yeah, so Ian is asking, is there a way we can find out about all the spaces that need filling in places to serve in our church life throughout the week or whatever it is? Answer is yes. We can.
Yeah. I'll give you three now, though, okay? Because that's helpful, Andy. That's a good one. But three big ones that we need now. We're always going to need kids leaders. You saw in the numbers, kids have grown. It's wonderful. It's joyful. It's lovely. It's loud. But this is great. And particularly lots of young ones coming through, so really young. So we're really keen to be able to have a 1 to 3 year old kind of creche sort of thing for parents to be able to drop kids in at that age. At the moment, they're kind of in kind of a Lord of the Flies situation out there.
Parents' room is
so
beautiful place.
Again, if you want to encourage God's people, that'd be a wonderful space. The other place we need is we're really looking for 1 or 2 people who are willing to step up and be community team leaders. So at the moment, a lot of this is falling on Adam, but we want Adam to be able to do some other stuff. In order for him to be able to do other stuff, we need people who can coordinate making this setup happen, making it kind of run and hum on a Sunday. So there's another big need. And what was the other one I was thinking of? Our dinner teams. Alison and Lee have been steaming along since kind of day dot. But church has grown, which means you need to make a lot more food. And it's starting to, I think, get to the point beyond the capacity of a one-person team to be able to create 60 meals on a Sunday. So they are amazing, but we don't want to break them. I don't want you to break them. We want it. We love the community meal. We think it's very valuable. I'll hang on to it as long as we can, tooth and nail, but they need a bit of help. So there'd be three. Yeah.
And you don't have, as we heard before, you don't have to be a good cook to be able to serve on the food team. If you have the gift of a kitchen, you have the gift of hospitality. So
we can help you with those
things. That's it. Yeah. Leeds has got things down pat and should be able to help you out. And so I always feel like helping the kitchen, help cook, people feel like that's a bit daunting. I can't cook. But if you can follow a recipe, if you can read and write, you have the gift of cooking. So there you go. But we can help you know more spots to, and places to serve and do whatnot.
I can get on the
video. What about giving at church compared to giving to a local charity or giving to buying a goat for someone in Tanzania or whatever it is? Sponsoring a child or just helping out down the road at the op shop or whatever.
Yep. Obviously a wonderful thing to be able to do. Important. Part of generosity. So Romans 12, I think, gives us the shape of Christian generosity, which is to primarily give to the growing of God's people, the body. And I would say that, again, if you tie that in with what we saw last week, as the church that you have been have committed to, that you are gathered with regularly, seeing that as the principal place for that form of worship. It's funny how we see money differently sometimes, but you would think it was weird if you were a member of a church but went to another church more often and sang with them. That would be strange, right? So it would be strange if that is your area of giving. Just as it would be strange for me to ask members of other churches to give more to Village than they give to their own church. I think there is a primary emphasis of, and that carries through across the whole Bible. Again, that's where this giving booklet probably says a little bit more than I'll say right now. We as a family, just to say how we do it, we give what we think is kind of like a sacrificial percentage of our income to Village first, and then we look at other spaces that we would commit to on top of that. So we have a couple of sponsor kids with Compassion. We also give to Reach Australia, which is a church planning network in Australia and leadership network. And we give spontaneously to 1 or 2 other little things here and there. We also give to overseas mission through Village. We give specifically an amount a week to the work in Vanuatu to see, people, Christians growing there. Yeah. So that's how I think that is the model that I would encourage others towards. Some will feel a stronger pull towards certain things. I don't think that's totally wrong as such. I would just go, I do think there is something about we need to hold on to the local church, guys, as the primary place where we are committed to in terms of mission. Yeah, and giving is a significant part of that. Yep, and I get it. I'm the pastor. That's, you know, you've heard it from the pastor sort of thing before, but I would also say, I'm saying it because I think it's the Bible. I think it's the pattern of what God has set. I wish I could disconnect my role from it. I'll get in the visiting preacher or something to say it to you, but they would say the same thing. So I hope that we could hear it from me without going, Tim needs to provide for his own job or something like that. I'll go back to my teaching role. Yeah.
All right. Oh, I was just about to pull the buzzer on you, Chloe, and you weren't going to ask a question last week, so you're definitely asking a question this week.
Yep.
All right. So I think Chloe is asking, it seemed to be, I can't remember when, but we talked about sacrificially giving.
Every week, yeah.
Every week, no, we don't really talk about that. In the past, we talked about sacrificially giving. A helpful way to figure out what that might look like is if it sort of hurts the back pocket, if it hurts the weekly budget. Can you flesh it out a bit, what that might look like? You know, do we give it to the point where we can't put fuel in the car or whatever it might be? How much pain is good pain?
Let me point people to a couple of things. A sermon during 4 weeks of wisdom last year on money, which gives a much more fleshed out thought of how do we actually think about this wisely in terms of we have responsibilities. What do I do? Do I, you know, is the sacrifice to feed my kids this week? Like, is that fair? Is that okay? You all laughed at me. So how does that work? So I encourage people to check that out. But I think, let me answer it this way. I'm reading a lot about contentment at the moment because I'm wrestling with it myself. We live in a country where contentment is very hard to find because of how much we see. And so what my encouragement to people would be is to do a bit of an audit of your life, to really actually think through how do I approach money? What do I do with it to solve what? What am I trying to get out of it? And what do I actually, and here's the baseline question, what do I actually need? What does my family, what does my situation actually require as a baseline to live, to be a person in my community? And then just to ask questions from that point on and to just reflect on some of the habits that we accumulate, that we all accumulate, right? That we obviously get something out of most of the time because we're doing them for a reason, but to really ask the question about some of those things and go, are they contributing to me growing to be more godly, but or am I just falling into the pattern of this world, to be honest? And to really consider that trusting God, feeling the pain as you described it, is to cut those things off as best you can. And this will be a process of they'll regrow a little bit, you'll fall into another, but then to keep going through this process of cutting back and cutting back. You know, one of the places, just to give you a particular example, I used to live on takeaway food. Like, I just lived on it because I just love, like, it's great, right? You know, someone else making you a meal that you didn't have to prepare, you can throw away in a bin and is generally pretty good. And we have just, you know, and I'm thankful to my wife in this, but together as well, we have just really weaned ourselves off completely and figured out ways to live and organizing our lives around living on a basically $2.50 a meal, you know? And that's enabled us to be really generous. And I would argue now, I enjoy the food more, and I don't know, I don't actually like takeaway very much anymore, because it's actually really good to eat the food that you cook and you like and you made it your way, and I don't know, there's something great there as well. So, but they're the sort of things, okay? Please, I'm still going and playing a game of golf a week. That costs money, okay? But I am reflecting on, I would love to go and do more. But there's a cost to, now that would stop me being able to be generous to the things that I'm able to be generous to at the moment. It's about doing the audit, doing the reflection, where are the things that we're doing that and that we could really pull back on and are really for our, they're truly for us and not much else, and they're stopping us from doing the thing that we could do. I don't know. There's heaps of examples, obviously, Chloe, but there are a couple that come to mind. But I encourage you, go and find that sermon from 4 weeks on wisdom. Money.
It's in the app.
Yep.
If you didn't know that. When was the last time you had Kome satay chicken?
Oh.
It's
called a Tim.
Yeah.
Is it? Is it anymore?
Oh, I don't know. Downtown Wollongong. Yeah, anyways.
8 weeks. 8 weeks.
There we go.
Yeah, I used
you really
to
have
it.
Cut back on
I
takeaway.
I used to have it every lunch.
Yeah.
Every lunch.
It is. Yeah. Anyways, let's wrap this up. Actually, one little practical thing. If you have, I'm with CommBank, and they are great at categorizing your spending, and it's quite revealing. If you ever go back into your bank statement or look through your online app thing, that's one way to figure out what you're spending your money on. It sure showed me how much I spend on food, amongst other things as well. Use that. Could be helpful to do your audit. But let me wrap this up. Let me pray and send us out to dinner as we can, I don't know, share more about giving ourselves as a living sacrifice to God, because as Christians, that's what we've been saved to do. As Christians, we've been saved to give our lives for Christ, because He's given our life, His life for us. So what a great thing that has been. Let me give thanks for that and for the food that we're about to enjoy together. Father, thank you so much for the work you have done for us through your Son on the cross, that He would give Himself for us instead of us dying. He died. Lord, you have loved us first. Help us to live out our lives towards love of others and for the church. Help us to, as we reflect on this week, our giving, our energy, our time, help us to do that audit with your kingdom in mind. And help us to cut back on the things we need to cut back on. Help us to push into the things we need to push into and give more of. Lord, would your Spirit be at work in prompting us to move in godly ways? I pray all this in Jesus' name. And thank you for this food. Amen.